going to be reading today from two passages of Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and then Luke 17. Should be on the screen momentarily. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And then a more lengthy passage, Luke 17, the story of the 10 lepers. Luke 17:11. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go, show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." So for just a little bit, I want to preach, in everything, give thanks. God bless you. You may be seated. Thanksgiving is, of course, coming up on Thursday. How many of you like Thanksgiving? I almost like Thanksgiving more than Christmas. I'm too old to get presents, and so, but I'm not too old to eat. And so Thanksgiving is a wonderful time of year. It is a time for me, of course, at least, it is a time for family. And for the past 10, 12 years or so, this is the only time of the year that I am with my family. I get together with my parents and my brother and his family and my sister and her family. And we all meet up in wonderful Branson, Missouri. And we leave tomorrow afternoon to do that again this year. So we've been doing that. But it's a time of family. And so we get together with people that we very seldom see. And I may see my parents or I may see my brother. But Thanksgiving is when we're all together. So I love Thanksgiving because of family. I love Thanksgiving because of food. I like to eat, and I never go through one meal without thinking of the next meal that I'm going to have and planning out what it is that I'm going to eat. In fact, this morning as I was eating my sausage biscuit from McDonald's, I was trying to decide what I was going to eat for lunch. Trying to decide it and hoping that it would be much better than the sausage biscuit from McDonald's. And one of the traditions we have on Thanksgiving when our family gets together, we rent condos there in Branson, and we put out wonderful aromas. We in addition to having maybe a few sort of Thanksgiving-type dishes, we may have, you know, the typical dressing and mashed potatoes and gravy, and sometimes green bean casserole. But if we're going to have turkey, it's going to be a deep-fried Cajun turkey. And if you've never had a deep-fried Cajun turkey, it will be what they serve in heaven. Right next to that deep-fried Cajun turkey in heaven will be the crawfish etouffee that we frequently have on Thanksgiving. And my brother is quite the cook. I do certain things. I cook a lot as well, but he does all the Cajun stuff. And we either have crawfish etouffee or we have crawfish jambalaya. Either one will change your life. So I like Thanksgiving because of food. I'm also a football fan, and it's interesting that all three of these start with F, family, food, and football, but I enjoy watching the NFL games on Thanksgiving, and it just so happens this Thanksgiving, the New Orleans Saints will be playing on Thanksgiving night. And I was raised in Louisiana, therefore I am a New Orleans Saints football fan. And so I'm excited to see them whip up whoever they're playing, and I don't even remember. So it's going to be fantastic. But out of all the things I told you about, and it is, unfortunately, it is what I think of when I think of Thanksgiving. None of that really has to do with my thankfulness and appreciation and gratefulness for who God is and for what He has done. It has evolved into a family holiday. It is not about God in any way, shape, or form. And I won't go through the story of that first Thanksgiving, but they're thanking God, in essence, on that first Thanksgiving that we celebrated here in America, that God had brought them through. They had actually survived. And, of course, a great number of them had perished through the winter and a variety of things, but they were thankful that God had provided and that God had spared those who did make it. But being thankful and grateful and excited about food and family and football, those are not bad things, but they are not ultimately an expression of gratefulness to God. And what I would submit to you is this, that God has given us so many blessings, and He has blessed us abundantly, and as a result of that what you and I should do is on a daily basis, not once a year, but on a daily basis, we should express our thankfulness to God for who He is and for what He has done. It shouldn't be a once a year holiday that we celebrate Thanksgiving. It should be a daily thanksgiving in our heart for what He has done. Paul wrote this, as we read in 1 Thessalonians. He says, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ." Now, Paul was an apostle. He wrote half of the New Testament books, but he was also a man who was persecuted, and he faced numerous tribulations. He was beaten. He was imprisoned. He was shipwrecked. All manner of things had happened to Paul, but he writes this, that in all circumstances, God's will is for us to be thankful. That's difficult to do when things are not going good. It's difficult to be thankful. But in just about every circumstance you can find yourself in, there is a reason to be thankful. Not necessarily for your circumstance, but because you serve a God who is able to take care of you in your circumstance. And the first passage that came to mind was Psalm 23, where David wrote this, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Then he writes, when things are really bad, when they're as bad as they can get, and I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear evil. And there's a reason that we can be thankful even in the midst of the shadow of death, and that is because the next phrase is this, "For you are with me." That God is with us in our situation. He is with us in our circumstance, and we can be thankful when we're going through it because we do not have to go through it alone. Anybody thankful God is with you? Now you can nod amen, and you can just nod and go yes, or you can say amen. You can get really excited and run around the building. You don't have to do that. But God is with us regardless of our situation and regardless of our circumstance if we are a child of God. Frequently, people are very thankful when things are going well. And I'm thankful for when things are going well. But sometimes I take it for granted and I forget to express my gratitude that it is only going well because God is with me, that God is working things out. He is the one in charge and doing those things. And in fact, what I've discovered in my life is this, is that when things are bad, I spend a lot more time praying and talking to God. When things are good, I'm just like moving on through life and like everything's great. God, I know God's there, and He's the one, you know, that may be orchestrating this, but I don't spend time in prayer, and I don't spend time talking to Him. I just go through my life. But we should, in the good times and the bad times, express our gratefulness to God, for He is with us. Jesus was asleep in the boat, and He and His disciples are going to the other side of the lake. Jesus gets in, said, "We're going to the other side." He goes to sleep. He's tired. He's been preaching. He's been ministering to people. storm comes up, and because Jesus knows everything, he knows the storm is coming. They don't know the storm is coming, even though they're fishermen. They should have known the storm was coming, but it catches them by surprise, and the waves are throwing water into the boat, and it's not a big boat, it's not like it's an ocean liner. It's taking on water, and they're scared, and they think they're going to lose their life. But the whole time, Jesus is with them in the middle of the storm. And when they finally wake him up and they're going, "Jesus, don't you care that we perish?" His response is, "O ye of little faith." That he just says a few simple words. He just says, "Peace." Or more likely, he said it in Hebrew, "Shalom." "Be still." And the wind and the waves, they stop, because Jesus was with them in the storm. And what you and I need to do is be thankful and express our gratitude even when it's bad or even when it's good, because God is with us. He is able to deliver us. I've been around people who complain sometimes because they never saw God do the miraculous. They never saw God bring healing. Well, here's the deal. If you want to be healed by God, I know this is going to shock you, you have to be sick. Then if you're sick, you can be thankful because you know someone who's a healer. And if you never get sick, you can be thankful that God has kept you from being sick. So whether you're sick or whether you're well, every circumstance and every situation can cause us and should lead us to be grateful. Somebody say amen. The story we read in Luke of the 10 lepers, I want to draw three principles of gratefulness from that particular story. The first principle is this, is that we should be thankful because we have someone to turn to. It says it this way, as Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. Now, let me just give you a little background. Samaria, they are, in essence, half Jews. They're not Jews. The Samaritans and the Jews didn't really like each other. They didn't get along. They had different styles of worship. They had different places that were holy to each of them. And Jesus comes, and he's on the border of Samaria and Galilee. And as he enters this village, it's right there on the border. 10 men, it says, with leprosy stood at a distance. Now, I won't go into all of what leprosy entails, but leprosy still exists in our world. A lot of third world countries still have leprosy. Places like India still have leprosy. I heard about a leprosy colony just on Friday morning. But leprosy, it basically, what it does is it desensitizes your nerves, and you can't feel pain, you can't feel certain things, and your cells begin to die, and because of the lack of pain and the lack of nerves that you feel, you could actually cut your finger off and not know that you had cut your finger off until sometime later, and if you happen to look at it, you could be doing whatever and you don't feel it. And so lepers would have, frequently, they would have missing digits, missing fingers or missing toes, and they would have these great white spots on their bodies where their cells and their skin was dying, and it was contagious. And so if you had leprosy, you couldn't come close to somebody. You had to, from a distance, you had to call out, "Unclean, unclean," if somebody was coming your direction. And they would frequently be stuck out in these colonies together because nobody wanted to be around them. And so here is Jesus. He's on the border of Galilee and Samaria. And these 10 men, I don't know how they had heard about Jesus. I don't know how far his fame had spread at this time, but they obviously had heard that Jesus was a healer. They obviously had heard that Jesus could take care of any need, any situation, any problem that they faced. They had heard about Jesus. And so they hear that Jesus is coming, and they see him from a distance, and they're standing afar off. They don't want to come up close to him because they have leprosy. They're not supposed to do that. So from a distance away, they said, "Jesus, have mercy on us." They have leprosy. They shouldn't have any reason to be thankful. They can't socialize with people. They can't go into the marketplace. They can't hang out with their family. They can't be around their friends. They've got this disease. But what they do have, in spite of all of that, is they have somebody that they can turn to, and that is a Savior that is able to bring healing. That's a Savior that's able to bring deliverance. That's a Savior that's able to take care of their leprosy and remove it from them. And that when you and I go through difficult situations, we can still be thankful because we have someone we can turn to. Aren't you glad that you know who Jesus is? Aren't you glad that you know who Jesus is? And that wasn't in my notes, so I wasn't just repeating it because I lost my place. I was just making sure that you were really glad that you knew who Jesus is. The second principle that I would draw from this is not only do we have someone to turn to, but we should be thankful because Jesus has the power to deliver us. Now, if you had somebody to turn to that couldn't really help you, you might feel better because you weren't alone. And what I've learned is this, is that misery loves company. Nobody ever wants to go through anything bad by themselves. They always want to be around people. And being with somebody is good, and it makes you feel better. But just being with Jesus, or just being able to turn to Jesus, is not enough. But Jesus has the power to deliver. Jesus looked at them in verse 14, and he said this. He didn't even come over and talk to them. He didn't lay hands on them. He just says, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Now, in order to be declared free of leprosy, the priest had to do an inspection. They didn't go to a doctor. They went to the priest. They went to the temple, and the priest would look them over and say, "Yes, the leprosy is now gone." Now, what's interesting is that in the history of Israel, other than Moses, who stuck his hand in his robe when he pulls it out and he's leprous, with the exception of that time period, you don't really see leprosy being healed with Jews. Never is there a Jew that is healed of leprosy. When Naaman has leprosy, he's not a Jew. He comes to the people of God and God heals him, but he's not even a member of the family of God. So this is, the priests were never really called upon to check people for healing of leprosy because they didn't see it much. It was never happened. In fact, Jesus made a big deal about that, and the religious leaders got all upset when he said it was only these people that were outside of Israel that this happened and that happened. It wasn't the people of God because they didn't have the faith to believe. But the Bible says as they went, they were on their way to see the priest, on their way to be declared holy and to be declared clean. As they were going, the Bible says their leprosy disappeared. And I don't know if their fingers grew back and their toes grew back. I do know that God always goes above and beyond. And he doesn't just necessarily take care of the problem that you have, but he a lot of times removes all of the ramifications of it. And he goes above and beyond just taking care of the leprosy and said, "You no longer have it." And I don't know if that's what he did, but as they're making their journey, they took him at his word. And they're walking to the priest and they are healed. You and I, we do not serve a God that is made with hands. The Bible is full of people who worship idols, full of people who would take a piece of wood and they would carve out features and they would carve faces and they would make this idol out of wood and then they would bow down and worship this thing that they had just created. Which is really, well, the impolite way, really stupid. I couldn't come up with another word on the spur off the top of my head. Stupid's what came. I apologize. We'll take it off the tape. But they would make something with their hands, and then they would bow down and worship it and call it God. That's crazy. That if you can create it, then you're much more important than it is. It's just a piece of wood. You went and cut the tree down, and you chopped it to the right length, and then you carved something on it. And maybe you plated it with gold, or you did all of these other things to make it look good. But it's just an idol. It is nothing. It has no power. But you and I do not serve a God made with hands, but we serve a God who created the universe, who has all power, who just speaks and creation takes place. And He just speaks and the stars are formed. He just speaks and the animals and the birds and the trees and the flowers and all of this comes into existence. And because He is the God who can do all of that, when He says, go show yourself to the priest, it's because He's going to take care of you. It wasn't their journey to the priest. It wasn't the priest. It was that God responded to their faith, and as they went, He healed them. Nothing is too hard for our God. Not only should we be thankful because we have someone to turn to, and not only should we be thankful because Jesus has the power to heal us or deliver us, but we should express our thankfulness because it will lead to greater blessing. Verse 15, one of the ten, when he saw that he was healed, he came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. I like the NLT. He didn't just, they say he came back praising God, but he came back shouting, praise God for healing him. He fell. Now keep in mind, when he first approaches Jesus, he's standing at a distance. And he says, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. But now that he's healed, he comes all the way up to Jesus and he falls at his feet, thanking him for what he had done. And the Bible makes a major point of this, that this man was a Samaritan. Keep in mind, the Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't mix. They didn't like each other. They didn't get along. Different ethnicities, different cultures, different worship, and they didn't get along. But this man, who is a Samaritan, he falls at Jesus' feet, praising him and thanking him for what he had done. Jesus asked this question, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? It's an interesting question. We know that Jesus is on the border of Galilee and Samaria. There's 10 people with leprosy. I don't know if all 10 of them were Samaritans. I don't know if 9 of them were Jews and this one was the only non-Jew. But he says, has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? That he expresses an extreme amount of gratitude to Jesus for what he has done. The other 9, maybe they were grateful. I'm sure that they were. But they didn't express their gratitude to the one who had brought them their healing. The one who had brought them their deliverance. The unthankful are reprimanded for their lack of unexpressed thankfulness. That because they didn't express their gratitude to Jesus, they are reprimanded, and He chastises them. But He rewards the person who comes back and expresses gratitude. He says this, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Keep in mind, he's already been healed. That's why he's back. As he was going to see the priest, he realizes he's healed, and so he starts back to come and talk to Jesus and thank him for that. But Jesus gives him something greater than whatever it was, than just this physical healing. Remember, he's a Samaritan. He doesn't have this right standing with God. He doesn't serve God the same way that the Jews do. But Jesus, because of this expression of gratitude, says, "Go your way. Your faith has healed you." Other translations would say this, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." That it's more than just this physical healing that he's already had. His faith has brought about this salvation. His faith has put him in right relationship, in right standing with God, because he expressed gratitude for what he had done. There is a greater blessing than just being healed or just receiving what God does. But when you thank him for it, when you express your gratefulness and your gratitude for what he has done, if we can take anything from this story, it is this, is that God responds to your expressions of gratefulness and your expressions of gratitude and gives you something extra. As Kim comes to the piano and you stand, I was at a prayer breakfast on Friday, sitting with my good friend Ed Roach, who's here today. The speaker on Friday was Dan Mears. Most of you would not know that name whatsoever, but if you were to see the KC Wolf mascot, Dan Mears is the Kansas City Chief Wolf. He dresses up in the wolf costume. This is his 30th year to do that. He's 52. Still hasn't grown up, as he said. But Dan told, he's a person of faith. But he told a story from November 23rd, 2013. Yesterday was the 6-year anniversary of that event. That he's doing a new stunt. He's practicing on a Saturday for a new stunt that he's going to do during the game on Sunday. The stunt involved a zip line that went across the entire stadium, 260 feet above the football field, zip line attached to the top of the stadium, attached to the lights. But it wasn't enough just to get on the zip line and go across the stadium. So they were going to up the ante, and it involved being on the top of the lights, attached to a bungee cord that was attached to the zip line, and to jump off of the lights, bungee jump, and then when you hit the bottom of the length of cord, bounce back up and then go across the zip line and, you know, put on quite the show. The problem was that when he jumped off of the top of the lights, the zip line had too much slack in it. And so instead of just going 20 feet below the zip line, he went 70 to 75 feet below the zip line and hit the chairs in the upper deck. But he said it's because he's attached to a bungee cord and a zip line. The bungee cord pulls him back up, and he goes across the stadium, bleeding from a gash in his leg, 7 broken ribs, a collapsed lung, and a broken T12 vertebrae. And he's hanging by this bungee cord and ziplining across the stadium, and they get him down on the other side and, of course, take him to the hospital. And he has surgery, and he showed pictures of the 2 rods and the 8 screws in his spine to strengthen the T12 vertebrae. And he didn't show us any of his scars. said that probably wouldn't be appropriate. But he went into a depression, and he's, if you can imagine, he wasn't at the game the next day or the rest of the season. And he's in this depression, and he's feeling sorry for himself. And he said he was on the way to the physical therapist to get tortured one more time. And he said he's feeling sorry for himself, and he's crying, and he's thinking how bad life is and how bad things are. And then he said God just kind of worked on him. And instead of just feeling bad because he's got 7 broken ribs, he said, I could be thankful that I've got 17 good ones. Got a broken vertebrae, but I got a whole lot that aren't broken. It's about perspective. And he said as he thought about it, there were 3 real options. Pain or paralysis, which he wouldn't feel any pain, or death. And he said that out of those 3 options, he said, I got the best one. That in my pain, I should be thankful because I'm not paralyzed and I'm not dead. Does it feel good? No, it's painful. It hurts. But it's better than the other options. In everything, give thanks. That no matter what you're going through, no matter how bad it is, while it could frequently be worse, more important than that is that you have a God who loves you, who cares for you, who that if you want Him to, He will be with you through the trouble. He will be with you through the trial. He will be with you through the struggle. He will be with you through the pain. But He doesn't push Himself on you. But if you ask Him, that if you're just like the 10 lepers, if you say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, that the God of the universe will be with you through whatever you face, no matter how bad it is. Just like the psalmist said, He is a very present help in time of trouble. It's 11:30. It's time for us to be done, but I'm going to invite you to come to the front just for a moment as Kim sings and plays. So I don't know what all you may be going through today. Everything in life may be perfectly good, may be perfectly fine. You may not have any trouble. And if that's the case, that's something you can be thankful for, is that God has already spared you. He's keeping you from what could be going wrong right now. But on the other hand, you may be experiencing a lot of difficulty, a lot of trouble, a lot of trials. Here's what I know, is you can be thankful because God can be and wants to be with you through your trouble. So whichever side of that coin you're on, as they sing, would you just express gratitude? However you feel like doing it, would you just thank God for who He is and for what He's done? That if you're going through difficulty, thank Him that He can take care of you.